Did you see the Olympics closing ceremony? If you did, you were inducted into the story of the occult and shown the plan for mankind and our future of becoming alien space gods. Join me as we put some context into the symbolism of the 2024 Paris Olympics closing ceremony. My name is Isaac Weishaupt. I'm the host of Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture, and today we're exploring the mass ritual event of the Olympics closing ceremony. Much like the opening ceremony, which we did an entirely different episode all about, we can interpret the secret society and occult worldview of worshiping the intellect of man, otherwise known as Apollo. We see symbolism of Freemasonry finding the lost word with the Golden Voyager, and the resurrection of the Illuminati goals of alchemy. It's all embedded here, and we're going to break it down today, okay? Now, and then first, before we start, a little bit of housekeeping. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for a video you got to see. sorry, it's early in the morning, folks. It's called The End of Days Q&As, all right? And it's on YouTube. The channel is the Remote Viewing Corp. And what it is it's going to be a documentary series talking about the end times. Are we living in the end times? And there's going to be a lot of collaboration and things like this. It's going to be a very big project, okay? And I'm just planting the seed for now, and you're going to hear more about this later. And, plot spoiler, your boy might make an appearance in this, okay? That's what we're talking about. But it goes through a lot of topics that you're definitely going to be familiar with. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes, and we're going to talk about this some more, all right? I don't want to reveal too much right now, but we're going to talk about it later. But for now, you can check out this video. It starts out a little ethereal, a little bit of avant-garde, but you're going to like some of the content. And we'll talk about it in the future here. But for now, go subscribe and check out this video, okay? And you're going to hear more about this in the future, all right? Okay, now, getting into the Olympics. It starts out with, and the whole storyline, because I listened to the, the Peacock version, and I'll try to find the images. Again, same situation. You can't find this stuff anymore. They're really clamping down on the internet. But the father of the modern Olympics, the guy who resurrected the Greek Olympics back in the late 1800s, I didn't catch his name, doesn't matter. But it's the whole ceremony was the idea that, hey, what if this guy never did it? We would be in a really dark place. We would be in a dystopian future with no Olympic Games. And that's what this closing ceremony is showing us, okay? And they describe it, and they talk about how the character, this Golden Voyager, will rediscover and resurrect the Olympic Games. All right? Now, when I first heard this, when they were describing it, I thought, this sounds a lot like the concept of Freemasonry, of finding the lost word, because that's one of the things you find in the allegory of Freemasonry. We'll come back to that in a second here, but when we talk about Apollo, and what we're talking about is basically initiating and fulfilling the fantasies of the occult elites, all right? Now, this Golden Voyager, it also references extraterrestrial fantasies, all right? Because you can't really separate the two things. When you talk about the Illuminati and the occult and the goals and desires for mankind, you find that they worship the pagan pantheon of gods, Apollo, Osiris, all that stuff, but they also are obsessed with finding these gods through technological means, disembodied entities, aliens, and things like this. And you could get into why that's important. I think the one would be that it would show further proof of their scientific worldview, right? But you'll notice the Golden Voyager character in the closing ceremony, he came down from the skies, right? He didn't run out through the side of the stadium. He came down from the skies. So we constantly are looking to the skies for the life forces and creating the world that we need it to be. All right. Now, the Golden Voyager is also a play on the Voyager Golden Record. And I found that on NBC Chicago, they actually compared the two. And it says, according to the artistic directors, another inspiration was the Voyager Golden Record, launched into space in 1977 by the Voyager spacecraft, inspired both the title of the ceremony and the name of the character. This golden record, which serves as a time capsule in interstellar space and is embedded with greetings from human civilization, was made in France. Which I didn't know that. That's actually pretty interesting. Now, we talked about the Voyager golden records in my book, The Dark Path. There were two records, one for Voyager 1 and one for Voyager 2, two different space probes. And they each contain this record, an introduction to our alien space gods. And the Voyager space probes were launched in order to investigate the planets within our own solar system. Uranus. You know, it's like Mandela effect. We call it Uranus now. It used to be Uranus. But Uranus and Saturn were in alignment with, I think it was Neptune. And it was optimal timing to have these space probes fly, in a pretty straight path. So it could investigate all of these planets. And that is how we saw the poles of Saturn, which I think fulfilled a lot of their prophecies, because the poles of, because, you know, there's a whole thing with Saturn worship. In fact, we talked about this in the opening ceremony show, if you haven't listened to that. In the opening ceremony show, I talked about how the metals show a six-sided hexagon black cube, flattened black cube, which is the symbol for Saturn. And the only reason we, and there's a lot of occult basis for the worship of Saturn. It has to do with time constraints and measurement. It has to do with the idea that through death, we are given life. I always give the example that I read from Mark Booth's book about the secret history of the world, where the human skull, it's actually dead matter. But without the human skull, our brains couldn't form and be protected to create thoughts. All right. Because it's always about the worship of the intellect of man. And so with death, with the Grim Reaper, the Kronos, the Saturn forces, the forces of limitation and death, we are given life. It's kind of one of the concepts. Anyway, when these Voyager probes went past Saturn, they saw on one of the poles, basically an all-seeing eye. You can look it up. It looks like it's from the storms, apparently. And then on the other pole, it's a hexagon flattened cube. So another idea of why the Saturn cube is symbolic and important. It has to do with the building blocks of Pythagoras, the building blocks of nature, the square being one of them. Again, Freemasonry, you know, being on your square is very similar. Now, Carl Sagan put together this golden record idea. And fun fact, he wanted the Beatles' Here Comes the Sun track to be on there, but the copyright holders wouldn't let him do it. Unbelievable, right? But anyway, we talked about this in The Dark Path. Jimmy Carter, the president at the time, said, this is on the records. This is a present from a small distant world, a token of our sounds, our science, our images, our music, our thoughts, and our feelings. We are attempting to survive our time so we may live into yours. We hope someday, having solved the problems we face, to join a community of galactic civilizations. Now, I'm thinking off the top of my head because I was researching all this earlier. And I want to say on Wikipedia, they left out that last sentence. Because I actually had that phrase copied and pasted into my notes. But then later on, I was like, oh, wait, I talked about this in my book, The Dark Path. And I copied and pasted it, and I noticed that last sentence wasn't on there. I could be wrong, but anyway, I find that interesting. Joining the community of galactic civilizations. Why would we want to censor that? I don't know. That's the plans, right? That's the plans. And in the book, I said, what's curious here is that the message President Carter sent to the cosmos was influenced from the input of various people like Andruyan and Carl Sagan. Those two are pretty close from what I gather. Andruyan's brainwaves were recorded and sent out to space. While she had contemplated on Earth's history, our problems, love, and so on, one has to wonder if her magical intent or will was being projected to the cosmos in the same manner as the occult magicians since the ancient mystery schools. Druyan was actually the creative director for the Voyager Interstellar Message Project, and her inspiration for cosmic messengers also came from ancient astronaut theory originally presented by none other than Konstantin Soyakovsky, which is a name I bring up oftentimes in the book. He was one of the front runners of the ancient astronaut theory, right? The idea we evolved from alien gods. And he was in the same league as Jack Parsons and Wernher von Braun, all inspired by fictional science fiction tales. And in her, in Druyan's Wikipedia, you can even see the reference about how she was really into ancient astronaut theory and Eric von Daniken and so on. And you also find that she's part of the Breakthrough Starshot project, which is, again, the idea of making contact with ET. This is funded by Yuri Milner, Stephen Hawking, and Mark Zuckerberg. Right, they want to send probes out to Alpha Centauri, the closest next solar system there, to find our alien overlords. And then on the records also is Mozart's Magic Flute, which is a Freemasonic tale. But anyways, going back to the guy, the main character who sort of resurrects the Olympics in this dystopian future of the closing ceremony, the fact that he is golden is important as well, because in the stages of alchemy, gold is the final stage. It's the phoenix. Because the whole idea is, allegorically speaking, they want to turn lead into gold. And the process to do that requires the destruction of primordial matter. Okay? They need to destroy man, boil him down to his basic elements, which takes you down to what the Kabbalists call the spark of life, and then rebuild him from scratch to be perfected. And again, I think we talked about this in the opening ceremony. The whole idea is based upon the idea that the serpent, which represents the intellect of man, convinced Adam and Eve that, hey, you're trapped in God's Garden of Eden, which requires you to obey and worship him. But you don't need that. There's a better way. Come with me. I will teach you to become like gods through the intellect of man. And science represents that. It represents that idea that, look, we as men invented this technology that is so great. And you could argue whether or not that's true or not. I'm not here to do that for you. I am a man of science myself, okay? I've got a master's degree in engineering, so I'm not here to tell you that. And in fact, that's exactly how I'm speaking to you right now, is through technology. So you can't just say, oh, it's all evil, it's all bad, right? Now you're the Unabomber living in a cabin in the woods, taking a dump in a bucket, all right? It's not all bad. It's a weapon that could be used for good or bad. And you know, it's all perspective on how you want to look at it. And unfortunately, these occult elites look at it as the ultimate savior. They believe in the Luciferian concepts that they can create a better Garden of Eden for mankind. The New Atlantis that Francis Bacon talks about. America was supposed to be the breeding ground for this. And that's why they've got a hard-on for AI the way they do. All right? Because there is this concept that AI is actually disembodied entities. That could be the ET we're looking for. But anyways, this guy is, of course, in gold, because it represents the final stages of completing this great work of finding the lost word of Freemasonry, of man turning lead into gold, of man becoming God. That's what we're talking about. At least that's my angle on it, all right? That's my perspective on this. you could just be like, oh, I don't know about that, Isaac. I think people just like the color gold. And I'd say, yeah, you're right. We've all loved gold. That is true. But in the opening, or in the closing ceremony, the commentators who are given a script, I'm sure, say there's meaning behind every moment of the closing ceremony. All right, it's very purposeful. So the Golden Voyager guy, he comes down from the skies, of course, and he is discovering the remnants of the ancient Greek Olympic Games. And in their words, they say he sparks a rebirth. And they're doing all this, you know, dancing and things, and the guys come out, and I've seen online people saying they look like gray aliens, the way they're sort of dressed. Yeah, that's kind of true. But you see this part where guys playing a piano vertically. It's kind of cool. Looks pretty cool. And, well, the song is actually called Hymn to Apollo, which makes sense, right? It's the Greek Olympics games, and back in the days of ancient Greece, they were doing these games for the gods. You know, Mount Olympus, or whatever. I'm going to read you from, I don't know, some website. We then witnessed a spectacular performance featuring a floating piano. French tenor Benjamin Bernheim sang a new arrangement of Fjar's Hymn to Apollo. I'm not going to try to keep butchering these words. Hymn to Apollo, which was composed for the first Olympic Congress in 1893. Now, Apollo is very important. All right. If you are one of the cool people that are a supporter of this show, then you heard a couple weeks ago the July bonus episode, Trump's Assassination Conspiracies Part 2, which unpacked a lot of interesting things. And you already, if you already heard that, and if you're already cool, then you already heard about how where Trump lives in his little penthouse suite at Trump Tower has a large mural on the ceiling devoted to Apollo. And we talked about how I found through my research that this is connected to the same paintings that you find at Dashwood's Hellfire Caves, right? Francis Dashwood, where they did the satanic sexy time orgies. You know, Benjamin Franklin and all these guys are getting together, which is what Eyes Wide Shut's infamous party scene is based upon. But we talked about Apollo also in the Olympics opening ceremony episode, because there was that controversial Last Supper imagery, okay? And I suggested that maybe this Last Supper imagery is actually based upon the painting called Symposium of the Gods. And in the Symposium of the Gods, the blue guy, Dionysus, is sitting at the table and he's feasting with Apollo, right? And this is about sun worship. And sun worship is about, again, Luciferian concepts of worshiping the intellect of man. It's what it all goes back to. Freemason symbolism. That's what it all goes back to, which we talked about in the opening ceremony episode. I said Osiris or Apollo is the sun. That's why they have the rays of the sun projecting from their head. And it represents the primordial knowledge, which is the gift of intellect, supposedly given to us from the serpent in their worldview. So again, it's not the worship of these gods necessarily, it's the worship of the intellect of man. And this is what they call the lost word of Freemasonry, and it's the revision of the Osiris story, of Osiris being chopped into 14 pieces, and Isis trying to go and collect them all to rebuild him. Kind of like this Golden Voyager. And she can't find one piece. Oh my goodness, what's that one piece? You know what it is. It's everyone's favorite piece. It's the phallus. And this is the lost word. This represents the Freemasons looking for the lost word. They're looking for that. You know? And in the story, she instead creates a golden obelisk and puts it at his junk, and then, you know, makes sexy time happen, and you know, whatever. But anyways, the secret societies, they come together as one body, that's ISIS, and they're searching for the lost word, the golden phallus, to create the solar Luciferian religion. Man becomes immortal, the lead turns into gold. That's kind of interesting because there was a lot of penisry going on at the Olympics. Remember there was that viral video of that pole vaulter whose junk stopped him from going over the bar? And then in the closing ceremony, they're at the Eiffel Tower, which is kind of like an obelisk. I mean, it's very much shaped like a phallus. There was a guy climbing it, apparently. I think he was naked, too, if I'm not mistaken, or shirt off or something. But anyway, the whole point is, now that we're hearing that they're playing the hymn to Apollo, it's Illuminae confirmed. This is a ritual, folks. This is the searching for the lost word of Freemasonry. In fact, fun fact, when I searched for the hymn to Apollo, the first search result took me to an Ordo Templi Orientis webpage with the lyrics to the hymn to Apollo. If you don't know who the OTO is, I don't know what you're doing listening to this show. Go read my book, The Dark Path, and come back. Because you need red-pilled. Okay? I'm going to be your red-pilled daddy, and you need red-pilled if you don't know what the OTO is at this point. Now, why the obsession with Apollo? Well, he is referenced in the Bible. The angel of the bottomless pit. And the name goes by Abaddon or Apollyon. Or Apollo, and it refers to destruction because Apollyon is the masculine Greek form for destroyer. And there's a, you know, I don't know. Anyways, it refers to a bunch of the pagan gods. And this goes into all of the occult thinking. Helena Blavatsky said the religion of the old will be the religion of the new because this is what they're trying to create. It's what they're trying to instill. And they need, much like the concept of alchemy, they need to destroy us, destroy man, and take him down to his basic constituency, the divine spark, and then rebuild him. They need to destroy the world to rebuild it into their worldview. And in fact, Tom Horn, rest in peace, Tom Horn. I think he passed away a year ago or so. He wrote a book that I talked about in, I don't even know which episode. It was one of the QAnon episodes of 2020 where I was debunking all their nonsense. Anyway, if you didn't know, I got an index. If you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, and if you're on a laptop, it's on the right-hand side. If you're on a phone, you have to scroll all the way down. You'll see a block that says Index of All Episodes. I painstakingly linked every episode, so you can just do a Control-F search and find what you need. All right, you're like, oh, what's he talking about? There's an episode about Osiris resurrection. Look up Osiris on there. You'll find it. Okay. But anyway, we talked about Tom Horn's book, The Resurrection of Osiris Ritual, and how that happens at the House of the Temple in Washington, D.C. for every president. They're basically reenacting the pharaoh getting fused with the spirit of Osiris. It's a whole thing. But in the book, listen to the title of Tom Horn's book. It's called Apollyon Rising 2012, The Lost Symbol Found. Because, again, it's all connected. And if the Amazon description says, you know, Thomas Horn has been wrestling with certain images and enigmatic information for years, having to do with the beliefs of an occult elite pertaining to the return of a pagan deity, which they believe will rule a final earthly empire. The Bible identifies this personality as the Antichrist. So again, this is from a very Christian worldview. He's very passionate Christian, all right? Christian warrior. So yeah, take that for what it's worth. Then we go through this whole ceremony and the lost word, and oh, here comes the golden penis and all that stuff, right? Then it's kind of the fun part where they're playing, the bands are playing, and the one band's name is Phoenix. Which again, final stage of alchemy. I thought that was interesting. And then it came. Our second favorite actor, Tom Cruise. He's on the roof of the stadium. And you know he's jumping off that bitch. You know he is. He's looking for not the lost word. He's looking for his 25-year-old girlfriend. Oh, But instead, he finds the opening ceremony flag. And he, of course, puts it on a motorcycle. Of course, he's sprinting with the flag. And he brings it back to LA because that's where the 2028 games are going to be, okay? In Los Angeles. And he gets it to LA and takes it over to the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing. Anthony Kiedis, he's looking for the lost word. He's looking for that. How old's his girlfriend? 19? Man, are these guys in their 60s? What are they doing? Bill Belichick, he's dating like a 24-year-old. He's 69. I don't know how old that guy is. What are these guys doing? They're losing their minds. Is it okay? I don't know. It's legal. I'll give them that. It's legal. So, hey, as long as it's two consenting adults, I judge not. And look, we're all attracted to youth and beauty, right? Where does it cross the line? What's the age gap where we say, hey, what the hell? You know, Leo, he's dating them 24-year-olds. He's damn near 50. Tobey Maguire, he's doing the same thing. It's murky. I'll give you that. It's murky. But I think if it's legal and it's two consenting adults, I mean, what do you want? What do you want? Police state breaking up two people in love. Now, Anthony Kiedis, I didn't finish it. I started reading his biopic Scar Tissue a while ago. And he does talk about, he admits it, so I give him that. He admits having sex with a 14-year-old when he was 23. Granted, he was on a lot of drugs, which alters your thinking. Not so good. Not so good. It inspired him to write Catholic Schoolgirls Rule. I'm a lifelong Chili Peppers fan, so it's difficult to read those things, but I'm like, ugh, is it the same as, Clinton and Trump flying on the Epstein Express? I don't know if it's the same as that. It's murky. It's murky. But hey, we're all imperfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. So I'm still listening to Chili Peppers, sorry. I'm still listening to Michael Jackson. Imperfect artists. We don't have to condone their actions. I don't know. Again, murky. Okay, moving on. So Chili Peppers played in LA. Then we had Billie Eilish and her very close brother playing. And then for the grand finale, the grifter of all grifters, Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg was on there. He made $9 million being the whatever it was he did for the Olympics. I don't know. He was there every day doing stuff. Not bad. 30 years ago, I remember that guy was on trial for his life. You couldn't get a hotter rapper on the planet. Not the Dogfather. What was the first that Doggy Style was out? I remember watching Dre Day video. You can tell I'm stalling. I'm trying to get you to 30 minutes here. I was watching the Dre Day. Dre Day the Chronic cassette tape come out. My friends brought it over. You've heard this story already. I remember listening to it in my living room. I'll never forget. Blew my mind. I was like, bro, what is this? And I was listening to hip hop already. I was listening to Dos FX and the Fresh Prince, Will Smith. What was his name? No, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Yeah, that's what it was. And I was like, this is something else. They're saying the N-word. Why are black people saying the N-word? I didn't understand. Why is this so violent? And NWA was already out. I had heard them, but I don't know. And they were like dangerous. But this was different. And then I heard Snoop Dogg on Dre Day. I was like, bro, this goes hard. The MTV played the video on loop. Remember Warren G was in the video unwrapping something with a black box. I was like, what is he unwrapping? What is that? And the highly anticipated Snoop Dogg album came out, Doggy Style. Then he was on trial for murder. I was like, no, it can't be. Already? They're not going to do this. But then he got exonerated, found not guilty, self-defense, whatever. 30 years ago. Most dangerous man in rap music, and here he is on the Olympics dancing around making $9 million. Hey man, I'm not hating. I would do the same thing. I'll do the same thing. But I mean, but you know, he's in all kinds of commercials all the time. So him, Shaq, and who else is constantly out there grifting hard. Anyway, so Snoop Dogg performs and wraps it all up, brings Dr. Dre out, and that's it. Then they take us back to the stadium in France, and they blow out the flame of the Olympic torch, and that's a wrap until 2028. And they come to Los Angeles. So there you go. Illuminati confirm, right? It started out with Freemasonic secret society symbolism, and it ended just the same. So I hope you enjoyed that. Now, if you, here's your tasks. Here's your tasks. I got many things you can do. If you're like, Isaac, don't leave already, you can get the dark path. If you don't know what the OTO is, find out. I basically put together the whole plan from start to finish of what's going on in the world. I wrote this in 2017, I think, 2016. And it's holding truer than ever. From aliens to secret societies, all this stuff is the same playbook as what I wrote about 8 years ago now. And you can get that on Amazon, you can get it on Audible, I narrated it, or you get it for free. You can get the PDF download for free, sign it up at patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Well, it's $5 to sign up for the tier one. And then you'll unlock that Trump conspiracies bonus episode part two, where we unpacked a lot of this crazy stuff with Trump and the occult, with his Apollo ceiling mural and Trump Tower with the 666 symbolism and the inverted triangle, which he's always doing with his hands and in the interviews, if you ever noticed that. Talked about all that. And then also check out the link in the show notes for that YouTube video. Again, more to come on that, okay? But check that out. You're going to like it. And then I'm going to make a little appearance at some point here real soon. Okay. All right. Thanks for listening to the show. Till next time. Stay positive.